Hi and welcome to The Light Leaders, a podcast for light workers and conscious entrepreneurs who are passionate about raising the consciousness of our planet and take action to make it happen. I'm your host, Alexis Lember, and I believe that we are currently in the middle of a global awakening of humanity, that right now is the time for heart-centered conscious people to step into our power so we can replace your paradigm and bring the conscious new earth into manifestation. So here, I'll interview a variety of people who lead this movement of creating this new earth, whether they do it through a meditation course, a conscious podcast, or an ethical cryptocurrency. I call them light leaders. If you resonate with our mission, please help us spread the message by sharing this podcast. We're having more and more content getting censored, so we need your help. Make sure to stay in touch also by registering to our newsletter on thelightleaders.org. If you hear little nuggets you love and you'd like to share, screenshot this episode and share on your Instagram stories, make sure to tag us at The Light Leaders Podcast and we will repost. Hi, in the past 3 years, I've mainly been living in Bali. It's such a beautiful island and I absolutely love the local population. They're so kind, warm, welcoming. Unfortunately, with the COVID situation, so many people here have lost their job because the tourism industry is 80% of the economy of Bali. That's why I was so excited to have Jeannot on this podcast. You'll listen to the interview. It's a very exciting project, Plastic Exchange, and I really want to support what he's doing. So as you'll notice, I say during the podcast, I want to sponsor a village for at least 6 months, and I would love to see some of the listeners or people around me support also and come together to support Jeannot's project. So if that's you, you can go on thelightleaders.org/plastic and you'll find more information. Hi, and welcome to this new episode of The Light Leaders. Today, I'm with Made Jeannot Yaza, who is a world traveler native to Bali, and he embodies Eastern philosophy blended with Western sensibility. Certified in somatic coaching and leadership training, his long-studied practice of Aikido has remained a physical metaphor underpinning his studies and his teaching. He has found that the tenets of his Balining cultural heritage have likewise reinforced his interest in and comprehension of somatic, as both share a similar wisdom that views body and mind as inseparable rather than dualistic. Moxa, plant-based restaurant and permaculture garden, his co-creation with executive chef Made Runata, has likewise enabled Jeannot to pursue his passion for environment, sustainability, and community. Ignited by the immediate economic crash due to COVID-19 and the environmental crisis already plaguing his native island, he has of late embarked on an initiative of empowerment and prosperity for the Balinese through a barter program that provides sustenance in exchange for plastic and non-organic waste. Jeannot, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm really excited to have you for a few reasons. You're the owner of Moxa, which is, I think, one of the best restaurants in the world. It has amazing food. Also because it's the first time I'm having someone from Bali, actually, in my podcast while I record here. So I'm very excited about these two. And also about what we're going to mainly talk about, which is the initiative you created to exchange plastic for rice or food.
Yes.
But before that, I'd love to ask you, what are you grateful for today?
I'm really grateful for life because I felt like, in this life, we can do something for the humanity, for ourselves.
I love that. And I'd be curious, in a nutshell, to give a bit of background to the listener. What is your main motivation for your actions in the world? What is your vision for the world, and how is the plastic exchange bringing this into manifestation?
Yeah. Well, if we talk about the plastic exchange, it's really the way, the vision is really to make this world a better place to live. And the way that I know how to do that is by cleaning the environments. When I started this initiative, it's really looking at inside of the crisis, there's an opportunity. Yeah. So what I saw was the environments, you know, there's plastic everywhere. And then the second one is, like in your introduction, because of this COVID-19, and economy is down, and a lot of people lost their jobs in Bali. And at least the basic needs, you know, people need eat, yeah, which is rice. And then the third one is really, let me put it this way. When there is a disaster, people bring what we call disaster relief. And people give and people receive. And there's nothing wrong about people giving and then nothing wrong about people receiving. But sometimes we do even, we creating this unconditional or unintended consequences. People waiting for help. So one hand on the bottom, one hand on the top. So I really want to bring this hand together. Yeah. So in Bali, we call it Tatwamasi. So the receiver become a giver, the giver become a receiver. So with this plastic exchange, is really, there's three things that we are looking for. The first one is dignity, which is the self-worth. Yeah. Just because we, you know, the economy down, you know, we can always do something. Yeah. So that's the dignity. The second one is the prosperity. In the short term, they got rice. In the long term, really, you know, cleanliness is important, you know, for our air that we breathe, for our health. And don't forget, Bali is 80% is based on tourism. Yeah, we can sell cleanliness, you know, yeah. And then the third one is the prosperity. Yeah, the short term, like I said, they got rice. And in the long term, you know, the soils become fertile, the air is become better, the health is become better.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. I would love to know how you came with the idea and how you started implementing it concretely.
I remember it was Saturday, May 1st, 8 o'clock, yeah, in Ubud, in my house, that I was sitting, looking out to my yard. You know, this is when the first COVID starting, like all the country locked down and everything, the economy down, and I own a restaurant, and the people stop coming. And I find myself like, what is the opportunity that rise from this? And I just start looking at, you know, what? The environment, economy. And then our pride as a Balinese, our pride as a human being, you know, we cannot go down, you know, just because the world is shut down. You know, the dignity, the pride as a human being. So, and then I have this thought, well, I want to help my village, but I just don't want to give. So, and then I thought to myself, what about if they clean up the plastic and I will give rice? So the next day I went to my village and I talked to the leaders and I talked to the youth. And then I said, hey, I have this idea. If you guys pick up plastic, whoever pick up plastic, this is not mandatory. Bring it to me and I will give rice. And then they asked me, when should we start? And I said, tomorrow. And I said, wow, you know. And I said, we're not waiting for nothing, you know. We start tomorrow. And then we start. Yeah. So Saturday, Sunday, and then
3 days.
3 days start.
And has it been going since then? Do you have a lot of people?
Well, it's been really, really success. Yeah. When I start this, I was just going to start it in my village and that's it. But it's got respond really well. And I said to myself, if this is work in my village, got to work in a different village. So, and then I start bringing it to Ubud, to Sayan, to Lotundu. And now we have about probably 200 villages, and we collected like 500 tons of plastic. We gave away so much rice, and we helped so many families. Mm. Yeah, Lembongan already, Nusa Lembongan. Yeah, Ahmed.
Such a win-win for sure.
Yes.
I'd love to understand a bit more the economics of it. Do you have people who donate to fund for the rice and the people working, or what do you use the plastic for? Can you sell it?
Yeah. So in order for plastic exchange to happen in a community, there's need to be have a three thing. The first one, there's need to be a community. Yeah, the one that's going to do this, the one that's going to clean up their village. Mm-hmm. The second one, we need to have a system. Yeah, how we're going to value the plastic, because there is many different plastic. There is a PET, there is a HDPE, there is it's like probably like a 50 shade of gray, 50 shade of plastic, I guess. So that's the one, the system. And then the third one, your question is like, yes, we need the funding. Because the plastic that we collect, a lot of them is we cannot sell because it's been around for years, you know. It's brittle, it's dirty and all of that. We really rely on a donation for now. There is plastic that we can sell, but it's not enough to make it to buy rice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Interested to hear also, do you feel like with COVID, it's been really hard on the economy for Balinese people? Like, first, you want to speak a bit about it, about how hard it hit, because tourism is the main economy here, right?
Yeah. Tourists, like I said, you know, tourists, like 80% of Balinese based on tourism. And with the tourists are not coming, there's no income. Yes, it's really, really hard.
What are people doing? Did you see a lot of people who used to work in the tourism industry, for example, then go back to working in fields, growing food?
Yeah, many think people start go back to their village, growing food. They start selling food or, you know, like cook. And really what I saw a lot of innovation. Mm. Yeah, the one that would not happen if this COVID was not, you know, happening.
I love that you have always that positive outlook and seeing the opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, there is always an opportunity inside of crisis. And you know, the people that not even doing the building when was tourists, a lot of tourists. And now they do build, you know, they dig a hole, they clean up, they do a lot of different things that they would not do if COVID wasn't here.
Mm. And do you feel also, so it's been really hard on the people and the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel because you care a lot about the environment, do you feel it has helped a bit for the environment, the fact that there are less tourists?
Probably. You know, I think for me, I'm doing this is to change the behavior of the people, and especially in this case is Balinese,
mm-hmm.
yeah, from throwing to picking.
Mm.
You know, you talk about somatic. Somatic is our body. You know, our body is, we can retrain our body. Yeah. What we're doing right now is throwing. Mm. Doesn't matter what you put in your hand. If this is your move, you just throw it. You know, you put plastic, you throw it. You put, I don't know, iPhone that you not use anymore, you just throw it, you know. So, because this is the move, yeah. So, I want to change this move from throwing to picking and separating, yeah. Because that's one of the thing that hard in when we do a garbage is the separation between organic, non-organic. And then non-organic, there is many more separation. Yeah. So if we talk about somatic, it's really, there is a study that shows if you want to remember a move, you need to repeat that 100 times. If you want to get that move in your muscle memory, you need to repeat that 1,000 times. If you want to embody it, this has become like your second nature, you need to repeat that 10,000 times. So this is what I'm aiming for plastic exchange. You know, exchanging plastic for rice is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, but underneath of that is really changing people's behavior.
Yeah. So then even outside the program, people will be used to, okay, I see plastic, I pick it up.
Or just like, you know, my background is in also I practice Aikido, which is martial art. I mean, people said, Bruce Lee said, you know, I'd rather practice one move 1,000 times than 1,000 move one time. So really, this is what I'm aiming for, like how to change the behavior of people. If you look at knowledge, there's two kind of knowledge. One is cognitive, which is I understand because you read the book. I understand because somebody tell you. I understand because I watch it on a TV or internet. And the second knowledge is what we call it embodied knowledge. You know, just because you know something in your head doesn't mean that you can do it. You know, how many people that understand here about plastic? Yeah, but they still go to the supermarket and get plastic. And still, when they got home, they throw plastic. So really, like, at Plastic Exchange, I want to get this, the embodied knowledge to become their second habit.
Is that what you call education in action?
Exactly. It's called edu-action.
Edu-action.
Edu-action is education in action. So, educating by doing.
And you told me also, so that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's that part around changing people's behavior. And you told me also the plastic exchange and how you set it up. It is ingrained with Balinese wisdom also. Do you want to share a little bit about how Balinese wisdom helped shape the project?
Yeah, there is two main ones. The first one is the Tatwamasi. Tatwamasi is you is me, me is you. Yeah. What I mean by that is the receiver become a giver and the giver become a receiver. So it's like a yin and yang. Yeah, so like there's a cycle here. It's recycle. You know, reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah. And then the second one is we call Trihita Karana, which is the three ways to achieve the happiness. Yeah, when these three things happening, that's when the happiness started. Yeah. So the first one is a connection human to God, which is the dignity. Yeah. And then the second one is the harmonious connection human to human, which is the prosperity. And then the third one is the harmonious connection human to the environment. So by cleaning plastic, by picking up plastic from the environment, this is what we are doing. Yeah, we're helping the environment, we're helping ourselves, we're helping each other to be prosper. Yeah, and we feel proud doing this because we clean our house. We clean our village. We clean our island. It's soon going to be we clean Indonesia. And soon it's going to be we clean Southeast Asia. Asia, the world. This is going to be replicated really easy. There's no rocket science in this equation. Pick up plastic, bring it, we'll reward you.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I'd love to ask you maybe more personally.
Sure.
So you grew up in Bali. And what made that you have that entrepreneurial mind where there's a problem, you see an opportunity and you take action and you make it happen? Are there, I don't know, certain books or certain experiences that made you be this way?
I grew up in Bali in a really small village. There was no electricity, no car, not like what we see right now. Only one transistor radio. That's what we got our news from. And then at age 12, I moved out from my village because I need to go to the next school. There is no high school in my village. There is no university in my village. And I start traveling. So I think that's what the best thing that ever happened to me is traveling. And then...
Where did you travel?
I travel in... starting from Bali and then Indonesia. And in 1996, December 1996, I went to United States and I'm stuck there. Well, I stayed there for 15 years. And through my journey in the United States, really, I met many, many mentors. Yeah. One of them is Richard Strauss Heckler, which is the one that I studied about somatics, and then also teach me about Aikido. And then the second one is Yvon Chouinard, which is the founder of Patagonia Clothing Company. I worked for them for 9 years. And really all of this mentor that I met along the way gave me some kind of outlook and also vision. And what I learned from these two mentors, like, just do it, you know, and figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you mentor also young Balinese entrepreneurs?
I would love to. And I do a lot of leadership training for local. I'm also do coaching one-on-one. Yes.
That's nice. I'm curious, so do you find Aikido somehow helped you in the business world?
Not just in the business, also in life. Mm. You know, it's, you know, in life, we got a lot of this energy coming at you.
Yeah.
You know, energy like in Aikido would be people punch you, people kick you, people trying to grab you. And in life, we experience the same thing. You know, email, people calling you, people texting you, people yell at you, people give you compliments, you know, all of those things is an energy. It's the same thing like a physical energy. Mm. And what I learned from Aikido or from somatic is our body doesn't know the difference between punch, yell, or grab. Our body react the same. You know, you might heard about the freeze. Make nice, you know. So, and what I learned from that is like I understand who am I as a person, and what is my default, and how do I come, you know, over that. So, like for me, I would be running away when there's problem. I would run, you know. That's how I keep myself safe. Yeah, because I know. I do that, and I said to myself, no, let's face it, you know, and really just by doing is really good for my practice, you know, instead of running away, facing it, there's a problem, let's face it.
Yeah, that's I feel very helpful. People say it's also the sport where there's no attack moves. It's all in playing with the energy as that comes at you.
Yeah, like in Aikido. So if you look at the word Aikido, I is a harmony, Ki is a energy, and then Do is the way. So how do you practice physically to harmonize with that energy?
Mm.
In this case, would be people punching you, people grabbing you, people kicking you.
I'd love to go back on the plastic exchange.
Mm-hmm.
How can people get involved? What are the next steps? Also, where is it going?
So, it's many ways you can get involved. One is you can adopt a village, Yeah, people adopt Village. Many, many people adopt Village. And when you do that, you need to adopt Village for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it costs you about 3 million rupiah or mm-hmm. about $250 to $300 mm-hmm. to adopt a village. Yeah. And for the villagers, it's, go to or call me or go to a website if you want to have it in your village. Mm. We need to have I always said we need to have crazy people in the village to organize this because this is not about me organizing it for you, but it's you organizing it for your village, and I can help you with that.
Do you have a list of villages now that are looking for funding?
Yes, I do. I do. I have probably about 20 villages knocking on my door right now. And I always said, wait, don't worry. You know, it will come. Okay. I know it will come. Yeah.
Well, I'll personally sponsor one.
Okay. Six months. Yeah. Okay. Where do you live?
Ubud.
Okay. We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll
set that one up.
That's my commitment from this.
And you know what? I have one good for you.
Yeah.
It's a group of kids that been doing this cleaning for many, many months. Mm-hmm. And I would love to adopt that community. And yes, okay. I'll introduce you.
Yeah, thank you.
I got one for you.
Thank you. And I'd love... I know a lot of people from the Ubud or Bali expat community may listen to this episode. So definitely,
yes,
if they are
please,
other people, how can they contact you to make it happen?
Yes, go to plasticexchange.org. And there is a contact form over there. Fill it out or come to Moksa, talk to me. You know, and we'll set you up, really. So I always said, you know, the hashtag is... Together we can.
Thank you so much, Anu.
Yeah.
Is there anything more you want to share about Plastic Exchange for the listeners?
Really, for the listener, you know, this is a problem about plastic, a problem about the environment. It's a global problem. And I always said to the people that I talk to the listener who's listening right now, let's act locally and impact globally. So let's start from where you are right now. You know, if you are in Bali, if you want to adopt a village, if you want to give some donation for this plastic initiative, please do, because we need everybody. Yeah, we need the donors, we need the community, we need a system to make this thing work.
Yeah, thank you so much. Such a beautiful project. Is it only in Bali or do you also have villages outside Bali?
Only in Bali for now. Mm. I said only in Bali for now. It will go, just grow steadily.
Yeah, and if someone listens in another part of the world and want to replicate this, that could be really nice too.
Yep, absolutely.
We're arriving towards the end of the episode.
Sure.
I'd love to know... For you personally, what's next and why are you out? So you have Moksa, the restaurant, is there, and also other restaurants that might be coming? How about with Plastic Exchange? And do you have other projects you'd love to share about?
I want to be useful. Yeah, I want to be useful. Like with this plastic project, you know, from this plastic now, we give a filter to villages. So they don't have to buy more water. So now they can drink a clean water. Yeah. And then we also do education about the dangers of the plastic. Yeah.
Which is, to go back on the water, here in Bali, people drink a lot from plastic bottles. Mm-hmm. And even the big ones, mm-hmm. they're in plastic. Yeah. So is that a focus also to try and get people to be able to filter the water from the tap?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, water is really another basic of living. You know, we need to drink water. Like I said, I want to be useful. I want to be thinking big. Yes, Plastic Exchange is just the start. You know, from here, There's many, many things, you know, like I said earlier, like a water filter, and then what next?
That's nice. So at the moment, focus mainly on plastic exchange, water filter, and you'll see what flows.
What flows, because by doing this, meeting people, talking to people, many ideas is coming. And the other thing is, I want to also say this, and like I said, you know, plastic exchange is just the tip of the iceberg. And we also doing plastic exchange, and now we're also doing a blood drive, meaning people can give a blood. Yeah, because, you know, many times we look at on our Facebook, hey, I got an accident, or my family got an accident, I need blood, you know. So we've been doing this also in villages. So we have plastic exchange, we give them rice, we suck their blood. and then also I ask for the villagers to cook the food that particular for that village. Because a lot of this food has become forgotten. You know, the fast food, so quick, this and that. And, oh, yeah, I remember this food was cooked by my grandfather or grandmother, you know. Let's bring that out. So, yeah, again, you know, I want to do more, but in a simple way.
Yeah.
You know, people come into the idea also, I want to do a TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
A TikTok competition for the teenagers.
Mm.
You know, they are on a phone all the time. So make a TikTok competition for plastic. Make TikTok competition for environments. So get them involved.
Mm.
They are creative. And the material is created by community.
Mm.
I have a lot of idea.
that's great. And actually, just before we finish, because you talked about fast food, and do you feel that recently the quality of the food, wouldn't be just Bali, would be a lot around Asia, has decreased? And because you own, you started one of the healthiest restaurants, like, is there, what do you think about the nutrition of the, let's say, Balinese people, but also a lot of Asian countries that have become more fast food and maybe westernized and more sugar and fat?
Yeah. Well, as a human being, we love convenient. We love, like, if it's easy, I'll do it.
Mm.
You know, it's also in a food, you know. Easy, I will do it. Convenient, I will do it. And, yeah, what I see in Bali or in Asia, we're still fortunate in a way that, you know, we still have a family that cook in a house.
Mm.
Even how busy we are, you know, there's always like we have our grandma or our mother or, you know, family that help us cook. But yes, the other thing too, sometime what we look at as a modern is by eating what people eat in Western.
Mm.
You know, the fast food, the McDonald's, the Pizza Hut. If I eat this, therefore I'm modern now, you know, which is a lot of people like me now talk to the villagers like, hey, that's not good. You know, the good one is the one that you pick from your ground.
Nice. Thank you so much, Jeannot.
You're
for being here today and sharing and the amazing actions you're doing in the world, especially for the people of the land of Bali.
Thank you
so much for that. Is there anything you'd like to share before we finish?
Let's do it. I mean, we here in a planet. Let's make this planet a better place to live together.
Thank you, Jeannot. Also, plasticexchange.org.
PlasticExchange.org, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking some of your precious time to listen to this podcast. If you stayed until the end, I assume it was insightful. So if you like this podcast, please share with friends. Remember that if you tag us in your Instagram story at the Light Leaders Podcast, we will repost, tell us what you've learned, You can also leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Now, if you want to stay posted about new podcast releases, especially as we get censored more and more on big tech platforms, make sure to join our newsletter and our Telegram. You'll find the links on thelightleaders.org. And feel free to contact me directly too, whether it's for feedback or potential collaborations. Thank you again, and let's co-create the conscious new earth together. Thank you for watching my YouTube channel. If you like this video, don't forget to hit the like button and to subscribe to my channel.